Amen. So I want to talk about encountering God. We had just an incredible time on Wednesday. We just had a lovely time with these guys that came over to bless us from Bethel in California. They just shared about Jesus, and they just shared their heart. And by the end of it, we just started to pray with each other, started to bless each other. And really what God started to remind me was this, that we are not saved to simply serve and to do jobs for God, that we're not just saved to just read or to just pray, but that we're saved to restore a broken relationship so that we can know Him in ways that we've never known Him before. And I want to encourage you this morning, maybe you're a bit like me, that sometimes weeks can go by and all that I've really done is just the bare essentials. You know, I've just done the necessary things or the things that I would consider as, well, I have to do that. And then there's those moments come and we do encounter time and we get alone with God and maybe He causes us to cry. Maybe we just come out of it and we're just like, wow, I just feel so broken, but in a good way. I feel like God's just moving in my life. Or maybe we get into a time of worship and it's like, wow, God just really moved in my heart. And I'm talking about there could be times here or there's just times at home where that happens. Or there's just times where you're just spending time with God and you're reading and you're praying and you just get these moments. But here's what I've found, and maybe you find the same. And if not, then you go, yeah, no, it's not me. But sometimes those moments can become very, very big in between. Like there's a huge gap in between. And if we're not careful, what I find is that the busyness of life and just trying to do all the things that we need to do, whether it be for God or whether it be for somebody else or try to work or try to do this, and suddenly our relationship with God becomes really distant. And we have this long distance relationship with the one that we're supposed to love. And Jesus, our Savior, is just someone who has done something for us rather than a person that we walk with and that we're intimate with and that we know about. And so this morning, guys, what I want to do is we want to go a step further. I want to say, hey, God, how can I know You? How can I know Your heart so that I know You better than everybody else? How can I know You, God? How can I have regular encounters with You, God, that it continuously transforms my life so that I'm just never the same again? Because here's what God never intended. God never intended that we would come to know Him, that Jesus would save our lives, that sin would be removed, that we would go from death to life, and then suddenly we would just get on with things again. That we would just suddenly go back to our old ways or just try to get on with life with the fact that, well, it's good now that I'm saved, and it's good now that I know Jesus, and when I'm really stuck, I can pray. When I really need Him, then I can pray. And I just thought, this is never what God intended. He never intended that. Do you know what He really wanted? The garden experience. We would just walk with Him, that we would just know His voice. I mean, does anyone struggle this morning with just knowing God's voice? Anybody find that difficult sometimes? And yet that should be, what does the Word tell us? That my sheep hear my voice, know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. So there's in no way that God makes it difficult for us to hear His voice. But I know if you're like me, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of other voices that want my attention. And suddenly His voice becomes the lesser voice. And suddenly the person that I want the most becomes the person that I talk to the least. Suddenly the person that I want, I take for granted the most. Ever find that the person that you love the most can become the person you take for granted? They can be the person that you think of last? Because here's what it tends to be in my life. I know they're always going to be there. I know that they're always going to be there. So I can afford to keep going here, there, and everywhere. Because I know if there has to be a loss, maybe it could just be here for a while. But suddenly that while becomes a long time. It becomes too long. And what I've found is that the gaps just become too great. Anybody find that this morning? Anybody find that sometimes the gaps can just be too wide? And I'm going to encourage you to talk this morning if you'd like to. Just because I want us to do something. I want us to. If we're talking about encounter, then something has to happen. Something has to happen. Maybe this is just a whole church therapy counseling session. I don't know. We're just going to allow the Lord to move. But here's what He always intended. He always intended that we would know Him in intimate, real ways. He always intended that it would just be like the early disciples. Anybody ever think back to the early disciples and think, wow, how great that would have been to walk with Jesus? Anybody think about that? I mean, we said earlier on in the year, we want to go to the Holy Lands. And one of the terms that they'll fashion with the Holy Lands tour is that you're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And it just sounds amazing. Sounds amazing to be at the places that He was and to think about what He did and to read the Word and let it come alive, that a few thousand years ago, Jesus was here. That just like a couple of thousand years ago, he was walking in this spot. This is where He was. And it could bring our hearts alive. And anyone that's been there is like, wow, it's just an incredible experience. Could you imagine being those disciples? Could you imagine being those early disciples and you get to spend time with Jesus? Can we for a moment just try and embellish that thought and think what it would have been like? Could you imagine being with Jesus and just sharing stories and then you just start to laugh about stuff? What would that not have been like? You know, just spending time with Jesus and he shares a story and you just start to laugh. And in that moment, the word becomes alive because they would have remembered back to the Old Testament where it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And they're like, wow, we just suddenly feel strong. We just suddenly feel like, wow, I feel like I could do anything. Jesus, just send us out. Send us out 2 by 2. We're gonna see the demons flee. Could you imagine? It wasn't just like, come on, let's just get in the prayer line and just... It wouldn't have been like that. It was sitting around the fire and just telling stories. And they've been laughing, and he's been laughing. Imagine just sitting around and just talking to Jesus, and he talks to us, and it's just, we're friends. This is what he always intended. This is what he always intended. Everything that they had, that we would have, except more. Could you imagine that? This is what the word tells us. Everything that they had, we would have, but more. And then he comes out with this crazy, crazy few lines that forever changed everything. I want to read them this morning. It says this in John 16:5. I hope we've got the verse. Here we go. But now I go away. This is Jesus. Now they've just spent time with Jesus. This is amazing. They followed him. They left everything to have him. And they're spending every moment they can with him. It's amazing. But now I go away to him who sent me. Jesus speaking, say, I've got to go back to my Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because they just don't understand what's going on. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Remember, when you're with the person of joy, remember, joy for us is a person. Can we agree with that? Peace is a person. Peace is a person. Remember this, because here's how I know. There are circumstances that I have been in where I should have no right to have any peace, to have any joy, and yet suddenly I'm overwhelmed by it. And nothing's funny about the situation, and my emotions haven't changed in the sense of I think the outcome's different or anything else has happened there, but I just know Jesus has just, he's just come alongside me. I just sense his spirit. I just sense the Holy Spirit, and I'm just feeling changed. And so this morning, guys, why he shares this is because they were literally sitting with the person of joy, the person of peace, the person of grace, the person of mercy, the person of love. It says sorrow has filled your heart because the very thought that he would leave us would fill our hearts full of sorrow. Is anybody sitting here this morning feeling a heart full of sorrow? God has a plan for that. He has a solution. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, here comes a greater truth. I've told you the first truth, but now Jesus is saying, I want to tell you a greater truth than the first truth. This is where we need to listen up and hear it. It is to your advantage that I go away. Can we get funny just for a minute? This is not one of these weird breakup lines when you're with somebody and then they tell you it's better that I go. You know what I mean? You're just too good for me. I mean, in that moment, you know what I think about when you hear those kind of lines? It's that, are you looking for a bad person? If I was too good for you, are you looking for someone who was bad? I mean, it's just, this is not a weird breakup line or where a friend comes to you and just goes, we just can't be friends anymore. This thing's just not working. It's not one of those. Jesus is being real here, and he speaks to the guys. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is why. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. In that verse, we've got all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the very beginning, we've got Jesus. He says, I've got to go to him who's the Father. And by the end of it, Jesus says, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. Now, here's the mystery and here's the wonder of the Trinity. They're all one. If you've seen the Father, then you've seen Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If you've seen the Holy Spirit, you've seen them all. They're all one. They can never be separated. And yet the wonder of this mystery is that somehow Jesus was here and God was there. And somehow the Holy Spirit is here and Jesus is the right hand of the Father. But they are all one. And in these couple of verses, we see all of them together, and we see how they function. And he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because there's one coming just like me. The promise is going to come. And what does it say? It uses the word helper. Notice how the word helper is spelled with a capital, because it's speaking of something greater. It's not just a helper that comes to help us now and again. Maybe somebody comes to help you with your housework, or comes to help you with shopping. Maybe you like to go shopping, they help you to spend money. I've got girls like that. They help me to spend money. That is not a capital H. This is the Holy Spirit. He is the helper, and he will come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Here's what I want to stress, a few things this morning. is that God always intended that when Jesus would come, that everything would be changed. Remember, what has happened before? Sin has separated us from God. There was loneliness. There was isolation. We could never get that intimacy with God that we craved. Every time we would kill a lamb, or we would kill a goat, or we would kill something, sacrifice something, we would get a closeness, and then our heart would sin again. Our thoughts would sin again. We would do something silly, and instantly that sin would separate us miles from God. Now, why did God separate us from sin? Because here's the thing. Sin will kill you stone dead. And in his presence, he cannot tolerate any sin, so we would be completely wiped out. So the only way that we could survive, because he loves us so much, is that he had to separate us from himself. He had to do it. He had to do it. Because God can tolerate no sin. That's why there's no sin in heaven. There will be no sin. It will not be possible to have any sin whatsoever, because God and sin do not match whatsoever. He wipes it out. And so God, in his love and his mercy, he had to separate him from himself. And so that's what we find over and over and over again in the Old Testament. But now the New Testament comes, and what happens? Everything changes. Jesus restores what was lost. He defeats all sin. He defeats all death. And now we come back to perfect unity with him, able to come back to right relationship with Jesus forever. That is good news. And here's what he intended, that there will be no delay. Anybody ever done, I don't know, maybe you've changed banks or you've changed broadband, and then you got a better deal, and then for a week it all went down? I mean, there was no downtime. There was just no downtime. He said, I've got to go away, but it's to your advantage, because once I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. That he never wanted any gaps in the relationship ever again. And here's what I want to urge us with today. How is our relationship with God? Does it feel like there's huge gaps? Does it feel like we know the verses, but we don't know him? Here's what God put in my heart earlier. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what the Holy Spirit convicted me of? Is that I know the theory of that verse, but I need to know the person of the verse. It's through Christ who gives me strength. It's through Christ that I overcome. It's through Jesus that I do all the things that he needs me to do. Now, I love the verse, and of course, the word is a living word. That's not to take away from the word, but the word is always to bring us closer to Jesus. The word is always to bring us closer to the person. And God is here this morning, and he wants to encourage your heart, and he says, hey, I want you back. I want to walk with you. I want to spend time with you. I need you in my life. It's what God says. I need you to walk with me. And so what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us so we could have communion constantly with the Father. The Holy Spirit only ever points to Jesus, and Jesus only ever points to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And so I'm encouraging you, how is our walk going? How is our walk? Is it just conviction of sin? But how is our communion with him? How is our day-to-day with him? You know what I love? Those moments when you're with God and here's a good term, he just wrecks you. He just wipes you out. And all that stinking thinking that you had, all that unforgiveness that you had harbored, all that lies that you had lived on, all those hurts and pains that you had got used to, he just wipes them all away. He just wipes them all away. And you come out of that time like, wow, wow. And here sometimes is the curse of independence and the curse of power, is that we come out of those moments and then we're like, right, I'm good. I'm away again. I'll see you, God, in a month whenever things start to go bad. I'll see you in a few weeks whenever things start to go south again. And God's like, oh, come on. I want to go with you. I want to walk with you. I want to see you do incredible things. We were made to be people of encounter. We were never designed to be anything else other than people of encounter. That back in the garden, just like we did with Adam, just like God did with Adam, we would walk with him. We would know his voice. We would hear his heart. And then when the pains come, when the hurts come, he's right there. He's just right there to heal us, to restore us, to help us, to come alongside of us. He is the helper. The helper will come, the one who comes to help us in all things. Imagine that. This is what God has called us to be. John 6:63, can we read this one together? It says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. This is just a very black and white verse. It's the Spirit that gives help. The flesh is no help at all. Anybody tried really hard to do something really, 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 really hard, and it just doesn't happen? Because the flesh is no help at all. The brain is no help at all. It seems to want other things at times. It seems to have, needs a reboot sometimes. It seems to need, a cajole. It needs something. But it says it's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit inside of us that gives life. So we shouldn't try to live any other way but to walk with God, talk to him. So what I mean by that, we're going to spend some time just in a few moments and try to talk that out and try to explain that practically, but it's simply just talking to God, knowing him, talking to him like a friend, communicating to him like a friend, saying, Lord, I really just need your help. You know, one of the most common prayers that I pray, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I don't want to say too much because I need him to do what he needs to do. I need him to reveal to me. He wants to just speak to you all of the time. He wants to challenge you all of the time. He wants to encourage you all of the time, just like the way Jesus did. It's just the way he encourages, he builds up, he sets us free. We need to know him, said already, but when was the last time we just got in his presence and we just were forever changed? It was the last time. It was the last time. There shouldn't be any gaps in those things. God just wants us to move from glory to glory where we just know him in every way. And if you're feeling like that this morning, don't worry. God just wants to, he's just going to shake all that off in just a minute. He's just going to get rid of all of that in just a minute. He's just going to set you free from all of that. When was the last time, here's what I find, is that life gets complicated and life gets hard. When was the last time we just laughed? When was the last time we just had a good laugh? Do you know what I mean? We just had a good laugh and we just rejoiced. Because God wants us to rejoice in him. He wants to be people full of joy. Do you know who created laughter? Not the devil. Jesus, God. God did it. He created laughter. That's what he created it for us. He didn't just create sorrow and, you know, and tears and all of that stuff. No, he created laughter. We will laugh in eternity forever. And what will we laugh at? We'll laugh at the enemy for all that he tried and how he failed. For all that he tried and how he completely failed. We laugh at the enemy. We laugh at the works of the enemy. Because every single time he comes to try to grab us or to tell us that we're no good or try to reject us, we just laugh and go, tch. That's not what God says. That's not what the Father says. That's not how Jesus demonstrated his love for me. He died on the cross. He forever showed that. There's just no way that you can turn that around. He transformed me. And so we just laugh sometimes. Sometimes we just need a good laugh. How many times have we paid for tickets to go to see a comedian or to go to the cinema, to go to a comedy? And that's how we're getting our laughs. That's how we're getting our thrills. Sometimes we just need to get into the presence of God and allow our hearts to just laugh. I remember one night, me and Nikki just started to laugh, and we just had the most fun ever. We're just laughing at each other. I was laughing at her laughing, and she was laughing at me laughing, and God was just doing good things. And we were trying to figure out why we were laughing, and we were just overcome by the Spirit. We were overcome by the goodness of God. It's just, laughter is the best medicine. Where does that come from? Because people know that there's something inside of us that needs to break at times. Something inside of us. Are we meant to carry the whole weight of the world, or is that his job? Is that his job? Because sometimes I think we're trying to carry the whole weight, and so it means that there's no capacity to laugh. There's just no capacity to have any joy, and we just don't know what to do anymore. But he's the one designed to carry the weight. We're the one just to go, ha, this is crazy. Come on, Jesus, you're amazing. I laugh sometimes at what he tries to do, what the enemy tries to do. When was the last time we felt this peace and joy? When was the last time we felt this peace and joy? When was the last time we heard just simple words of, I love you, you're amazing? I mean, any good dad does that. Any good mom does that. They just tell their kids, I'm so proud of you. You're just great. You're amazing. It's what we do all the time. And yet, as we get older, guess what we tend to do? Maybe you're like me in this. We tend to reject that. No, don't tell me that. No. Don't tell me that. No, you give me a big head. And then we come up with all these different excuses. We're not going to give ourselves a big head at all. The reason that we're doing this is because we feel worthless, because we feel that we can't accept that, because you don't know who I really am. And that's really why we're rejecting it, not because we're worried about getting an ego or a big head. We're rejecting it because we don't feel like it, because we know that we know what we've done. We know what we said. We know what we think. And so when someone comes with a kind word or a loving word, we reject it because you're like, you couldn't love me. Guys, we need to get past this stuff. Jesus died while we're yet sinners. He died for us while we're yet sinners. He loves us through and through. Prodigal son, as soon as the dad seen his son coming over the hill, he's after him. He's away from him. Didn't care about no letter. Didn't care about no excuses. He's just after him because he says, my son was dead and now he's back to life. It's good news this morning, and God wants us to encounter. Okay, let's take a minute. We're going to encounter God. We're going to go for it. Can I encourage you just to close your eyes just for a minute? And we're going to pray. And if you're comfortable, I'm going to ask you just to open up your hands, and just as if you were going to receive from the Lord this morning. Here's what the Lord has just been challenging me over this last few weeks, is that we are people of power, that we are people of power full of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has transformed our lives. And so this morning, we got to encourage our hearts and we got to remind ourselves of who we are. And he is here to challenge us, and he is here to comfort us, and he is here to fill us. So if you need filled this morning, I'm going to ask the Lord to fill us. Lord, would you fill your children this morning. Lord, would you anoint us? When if you want to, just begin to pray. Lord, would you just fill us with your glory? Lord, we just ask you to come. We just ask you to come, Lord, and touch our brokenness. Lord, heal our brokenness, heal our wounds. Lord, we just ask you, we want to encounter your presence this morning. We want to encounter your spirit this morning. Lord, we just ask you to come. Lord, we ask you for the lies that the enemy has sown in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, we ask you to remove them and to reveal them in Jesus' name. Just right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray just any uncomfortableness that you would just remove it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't need music. It's a helper, but we don't need it. We just need you, Jesus. We don't need somebody from across the world. We just need the Holy Spirit who's right here. He yearns for us. He cries out for us. The Word tells us there are times whenever we don't know how to pray, and so the Spirit inside of us yearns for us. That's why the praying in tongues is so important, why it's so vital, because there are times we don't know what to pray in our earthly mind, and so a heavenly language just starts to come from our hearts, and we start to pray in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, I ask you this morning to come and just meet with us, Lord. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can take time just to hear from you and to hear your voice. Maybe, Lord, you just want to speak vision to our hearts this morning. Maybe this morning, Lord, you want to heal us. Maybe there's a conviction that you want to reveal to us this morning, and then you're going to give us the strength to come to overcome it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you would make us hungry, because it's hunger that releases the fullness of his kingdom. It's hunger that releases the fullness of his kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would remove, it's what I feel. I feel like the Lord's saying, I pray that you would remove the need to be convinced all the time. Lord, I pray you would just remove that from our thinking. I need to be convinced. Lord, I pray you'd remove it from our thinking that I need to feel it. Lord, I pray that that we would just take away those things. They are limitations. They are caps that we don't need. Jesus just went around everywhere, and he said, in my name be healed, and it would be healed in so many different ways, in so many different fashions, so many different forms. Lord, remove the need for, I got to be convinced on this. Lord, could we be open? Could we be open to your spirit? Could we be open to the things of God? So, Lord, I pray just for more and more and more, and I pray just continue to touch us, heal us, transform us, change us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pray a bit more at the end. Guys, I want to just share a couple more things. Here's what God again just started to speak to me about this week through a few different things. Let me share this. I was watching, and maybe anybody watched the Formula One here? I haven't watched it in years. Started to watch it again. I love it. Anyway, it's silly. All it is a bunch of cars going around in a circle, and the fastest one wins. That's all it is. And they spend millions upon millions on the silly thing. But what they did is, in the last few years, they transformed the cars, and they took them from just being solely engines, and they put electric into them, because they want to just keep up with the times, hybrids and all this. So there's this young guy. Hopefully it's not too boring. I'll share it quick. There's this young guy, Ferrari, amazing team, Italian. They're amazing. I'd love a Ferrari. Anybody wants to get it, I'll receive it. They are great, and they haven't done that well in Formula One for the last few years, but now they're coming back to form. And they took this young guy last year called Charles Leclerc, and they took him. He's only 21, one of the youngest drivers ever to come to Ferrari. Big challenge for him. They're going to give him a year, and they decided to give him 4 years because they wanted to prove to him, look, we believe in you. We're going to invest in you. And so in his second ever race for Ferrari, he gets on a podium finisher in the top qualifying, just incredible achievement. And now with 10 laps to go, he's in the lead, and he's going to win his first ever Grand Prix. He'll be one of the youngest to ever do it. It's incredible. And it's just like, he's like 10 laps, I think it's like 10, 11 laps to go. It's all looking amazing. And then suddenly he gets on the radio, and you're like, uh-oh, something's happened. And he gets on the radio and goes, the car, there's no power. Help me. It's like a cry for help. You ever been in that position where you're like, Lord, everything's going really good. I'm winning. Everything's great. I mean, everyone's on the rise. My family's good. My wages are good. The car's good. Everyone's good. And then it all goes wrong. You're like, Lord, where are you? Help. And he starts to go on the radio, and his radio coming from the pit lane is going, there's nothing we can do. We don't know what it is. Eventually, after a few laps, he starts to slow down significantly. And they're like, don't worry about it. And they're trying to be encouraging. They're going, don't worry, you're going to win the race anyway. You're 30 seconds ahead. Now, that seems like a lot, but in Formula 1 at 200 miles an hour, you're a sitting duck if you haven't got full power. They are going to come right past you. And now his team are trying to encourage him, but behind the scenes, everybody else is working it out, going, he ain't even going to get in the top three anymore. They're just going to come right past him. It's all going to run out. And by the end of it, a series of events happened. He got top three, finished third, which is amazing. Still an incredible achievement. But here's what happened. The cars now have this new module, which is an electrical part. It ran out of charge. And without that charge, he loses something like 150, 160 horsepower. That's more than enough in a Ferrari at maybe 700 or 800 horsepower to make all the difference for him to not be in the lead of the race. And here's what the Lord convicted me on, and here's what I want to reveal to our hearts this morning, is that he was going really well. He was doing really good. He was doing great things. He was in the lead. He was winning. He was achieving. He was giving his best in every way. But what happened next was that he spent too long away from the charging station. He spent too long away from the place that was going to recharge him, from the place that was going to give him the power that he would need for the end. And how many of us are here this morning and we've just spent far too long away from the charging station, which is Jesus. He's not a charging station. He's a person. We spend far too long away from his presence. We spend far too long, and you know what I mean. I don't mean just reading and praying. I mean where you just know him. You encounter him. Maybe you're feeling goosebumps. Maybe you're feeling tears. Maybe he's just overwhelming you. You know what I mean. You're spending time with him. It's not just information. It's revelation. It's encounter with the King of Kings. If you never experienced that this morning and you haven't yet, then we're going to pray about it at the end, and we're going to believe the Lord to do that in Jesus' name. He spent too long away from his charging station, and it made all the difference. Here's what I want to encourage you. Unless he's at full steam, he just can't do what he needs to do. Unless he's got all the power, he cannot do what he needs to do. Have we got all the power that God intends for our lives? He has so much more for us. We cannot exist on less power. We'll just constantly drop back, and everybody will go past us. Let me tell you another quick story. This time it's more personal to me. Our car does this thing called limp mode. Anybody ever walked with a limp? It would be no fun. It's got this mode called limp mode. This is how it activates when you run out of diesel. So the other day, we're bringing the girls to school. The car says zero. Now, I have a lot of faith, so I'm always like, well, it says zero, but it'll do another 30, 40 miles. Easy. So I decide, let's go for it. Bring the girls to school, come back home, and then we're planning to go somewhere. So all's working absolutely perfectly. Go back home, get Nikki, get the girls. We're going to go to this thing. Going to a conference down in Belfast. And we get down the road, and I come to the post office, and here's it. I'm like, right, I'm going to fill up. Now, in the back of my mind, I had this weird thought. Sometimes this post office doesn't have fuel. Please not let it be today, Lord. So get into the post office. I said, hey, I'm going to have 20 diesel. They said to me, the last person tried to put 20 in, they got 4 pints. That's it. We've got no diesel. I'm like, oh, no. But faith started to rise again. I was like, you know what? We could make it to Armagh from here. It's only like 6-7 miles. We could make it. Made it about half a mile. And the car started to do this limp mode. And what it does is it just drives along, just stops. And then it lets you start up again, and you'll go another 20, 30 seconds, and then it just stops again. It's like a fail-safe method. Hopefully nobody else has discovered it. Maybe show of hands if you've discovered that mode before. Yes, some people have. They're not receiving salvation this morning, just agreeing with the story. But it's happened. But here's what I realized, is that slowly but surely, if I kept restarting the car, I could get all the way home. So I get all the way back home, and I fix it out later. Get it solved. But I swapped to the other car. Anyway, so the moral of the story is this. Is that if we're gonna live on zero all of the time, then we have just zero chances. We have like zero kind of tolerance. We've got zero space for any kind of grace. We've just got zero space for any kind of movement. Because if that garage isn't opened, if they just don't have the diesel, if the thing just doesn't fall just completely right for you, you're gonna go raging. You're gonna go mad. It's like, if I just don't get there in time, then everything's gonna fall apart. If that just doesn't work out for me, then everything's over. And here's what the Lord spoke to my heart about. There are too many of us living on zero. Just too many of us living on zero. And then we're going for a huge fill-up, and then we're going again, and we're trying to live on zero again. I'm sure you've discovered, if you drive your car a lot, you'd be lucky to get a week on a full tank. It's just the way it is. You'd be lucky to get a week. And if you drive a lot, you're going to have to probably fill maybe 1.5 times in a week. You're going to have to go for it. And here's what I've found. My life is only getting busier. Anybody else's life getting busier? It's only getting busier. More demands, more requests, more things that I want to do that I love, more things that people that I love want me to do, more things that others that don't even know me want me to do. There's just all demands. And so therefore, we're going to need more top-ups, we're going to need more fill-ups. And one top a month is not going to work. One fill-up a year is not going to work. One time, just now and again, is not going to work. Reading the daily notes every day is not going to work. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Because I challenge you, is it enough? How is our lives going? Is that just enough? A two-minute prayer every day is not going to be enough. We were designed to have continuous communion with the King of Kings. We were designed to have continuous communion with Jesus, that we would just simply walk with him. We'd be like their early disciples. How does our life look in comparison to the early disciples in terms of the proximity of our relationship with Jesus? Do we go everywhere he wants us to go? Or do we go and then hope that he follows? Do we go everywhere that we want to go, and then when things get really bad, we ask him, where are you, God? And then when he's not there, we complain, or we fall out with them, and we get mad? Or here's what God really spoke to me about, is that we are either living on a slightly lesser amount because we need to recharge, or we're living on zero because we haven't filled up in months or in weeks or possibly even years. And then what's happening is we're getting confused. Anyone ever got confused before? I get confused many times. But here's how we get confused. We then say, oh my goodness, the enemy's after me big time. Oh my goodness, the enemy's after me. Could you imagine if I turned around and said, this is so demonic. This car is zero. This is so demonic. I mean, she would just give me a good whack. And she'd go, no, it's stupidity. It's not demonic. It's stupidity. You just cannot drive your car on zero. And I'm not trying to be condescending or to put any of us down, but I think too often we're getting confused because we're on less par or half par because we haven't refueled enough and we haven't recharged enough, and we're on zero because we haven't pulled into the service station in ages. And then we're thinking everyone's a demonic attack. Oh my goodness, the petrol station's against me. Oh my goodness, the person before took too much. They're against me. You know, and we start to get all of these things that everything's against us, and it's not the case. It is not the case. It's because we're living on zero, and so therefore there is just zero window for grace. And everything's going to fall. If any half second is off or any millisecond just doesn't work or just somebody looks at me in a weird way, oh my goodness, you see what they did? it's going to cut me to the heart. And yet we've got to know that each and every day when the disciples walked with Jesus, they were being challenged all of the time, all of the time. And yet they just said, hey, no problem, we got Jesus. No problem, it's fine. He's with us. Jesus, what will we do next? What they say, we've got to send these people away. What do we do next? He said, no, there's no problem. I'm here. Are you on the boat? No problem. I'm here. Doesn't matter. Storms? No problem. I'm here. I'm here. They didn't just get out and go, He was there. He was there. Guys, I want to assure us that if he is with us, then we have nothing to fear and that we can overcome. And when the real attacks are there, we'll know them and we'll conquer them because he is with us. We can't live on zero. We can't live on a little bit less. We cannot live. Can you imagine your phone with no charge? You just know it. It's not demonic. You need to plug your phone in. You just need to plug your phone in. We need to get ourselves set up. And so I'm going to leave us with a couple of things, and then we're going to pray. It always takes longer than I think. But here, two quick things, two important things I want to share this morning. This is what I'm convinced of, is that if we don't block time in our diaries for Jesus, for the Lord, seems very formal, but if we don't block time out in our lives for him, everything else is going to block him out. It's not just a fancy saying, it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm more convinced of it than ever. If I don't schedule the appointment in with him every day, it's not going to happen because everyone else is going to get in the way. Anybody else find that? Hands up if you find that. It's going to happen. This is what we need to do. If you have an appointment with, say, the doctor or the dentist, if you make the appointment and you put it in your phone, the likelihood is it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, they're going to phone you and say, you didn't make your appointment. If you do that again, you're gone. Jesus is too good for that. He's not going to do that. But we are just, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to live, I don't know what it is, either super spiritual or just really bad lazy and just going, I just fit them in when it works. No, it doesn't happen. I will testify that it just does not happen. My week gets too busy, too many different things happen, and then months go by before I've had just real great time with God. Weeks can go by, hours can go by, days can go by, and I haven't spent real good time. So you know what I have to do now? I've got to schedule the time, book an appointment. I'm going to challenge you. Maybe this week, you think it's maybe too formal, but I just challenge yourself for a week to do it. Take your phone out and just book in slots, and if anybody else says it, what are you going to do? No, I've got a meeting. No, can't do it. Because that's what you do with anything else. That's what you do. It's like if you're going to this thing and somebody phones you, it's like, oh, I'd love to, but I'm going here. I mean, it happens all the time. You know when you have a great idea and you say to one of your friends, you want to go and do this? And they're like, oh, I've got work. Can't do that. Or you're like, I've got a brilliant idea. I feel like we're going to do this. And then they go, no, because I've got this thing I have to do tonight. I just can't do it. And then you feel gutted. I mean, let's flip it around. Does he feel gutted when we just don't want to spend time with him? I'm thankful that God is complete and he is no lack in anything. But if he was anything like us, he would feel gutted because he loves us and he wants to spend time with us. And so God is here this morning. You know what he's saying? I just don't want to hover above you. I don't want to just flow round about you. I want to engage with you. I want to encounter with you. You've got to book it in. You've got to book the time in. And then last thing, second action we're going to put in place is this, that unless there's a flow out of you, you're just going to become like a swamp. God doesn't want to spend no time with nobody if all it's about is just me and you, me and you, God, me and you, God, me and you, God. Oh my goodness, me and you, God. He wants us to take it to the streets. That's the way it always worked. It's the way it always worked. You've got to spend time with him, intimacy with him, alone time with him, and then you've got to take it to the streets because people need his love. People need his grace. We are not the river. Remember this. He is. We are just the outlet. He's just flowing right through us. He's just flowing right through us. Maybe we're the tree. Psalmist tells us that we're a tree by the living water. We have no lack. We have no need of anything because the water sustains us in every way. And then the fruit grows. And when people come past us, they are nourished and they're fed from the fruit. What is it like in our lives? Here's what I find. It's like you need to break into people's houses to find any fruit because they're never out to do anything. Because they're not presenting themselves. They're not showing themselves. And so I want to encourage you in your workplace, the places that you go, if you have regular encounters with him, don't worry about the fear. Don't worry about being nervous or anxious. It's going to disappear. It will totally disappear because you'll be overwhelmed with his goodness and his kindness and his love, and it will rectify every wrong thinking that you've got. You see, our hearts yearns for so many things. We talked about it the other week. Our hearts yearn to say Abba Father, but our mind struggles to say Dad. That's the reality of it. It's like, oh, it wouldn't be reverent, wouldn't be respectful. Here's what I would find. If I was with Jessica and she didn't call me Dad, I would feel disrespected. I'd be like, I'm not just a person. I'm your dad. I love you. Come on, I love you. And God is here this morning. He says this, I want to know you. I died for you. I created you. You were made to worship me. You were made to enjoy me. You were made to know me in every way. I don't want us to be distant relatives. You are a co-heir with Christ, sitting in heavenly places with him to know him intimately. So guys, come on, we're going to pray this morning. Can we stand together? We're going to just ask the Lord to come. And I want us to stand, and again, if you're comfortable, then we're just going to lift our hands again, and we're going to invite the Lord. I want to read some of his word over our hearts this morning. Here's how every relationship works. If it is unpursued, then it will fail. Every relationship that is not pursued will ultimately fail. How is a relationship with him? Then I'm going to ask you the next question. How well are you pursuing him? How well are you pursuing his presence? If you're not doing that, then there's no coincidence that your relationship is not the way that you want it to be. So come on, let's just close your eyes this morning. Let me read some scripture over our hearts. Here's what Psalm 63:1 says. Let's pour this out over our hearts in precious love. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Lord, I pray this morning for any dryness that is in our hearts that would be quenched in Jesus' name. They'd just be refreshed in Jesus' name. I pray this morning, Lord, for any emptiness that we are feeling, Lord, in terms of our hearts, in terms of our worth, in terms of our value. I pray you just flood us with your incredible love in Jesus' name. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would come with your love right now, Lord. I pray your love just to come right now. Word tells us that when the Holy Spirit came, he descended like a dove. He descended like a dove, and he touched everybody's head, and he touched the head of the Son of God, and he was just filled and complete. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice that intimately you would speak to us. And I pray this morning we start to hear your still small voice, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, as we would seek you, that we start to feel your presence. Lord, right now, Lord, we just start to feel your presence in Jesus' name. And I encourage you just to begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Just ask him for the things that you desire. Ask him for the things that you want. Psalm 42:1 says this, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Lord, my soul thirsts for you. I've got to have you, Lord. I need to have you. Whether I'm convinced of this or not, I need you. And how do I know that I need you? Because my life just feels so underwhelmed. My life just feels so full of lack. And yet him, the word tells us there is no lack. So Lord, reduce the distance. Reduce the time. So the time between my last encounter with you is less than the time before. I pray, Lord, that you're going to create in us a living, breathing relationship that we're just going to start to commune with you all of the time. It's like we're going to have our best friend with us all of the time. It's like you're always going to be there. I pray this morning, Lord, you're just raining down your love and your mercy and your grace. And I pray healing again this morning in Jesus' name. Healing again in Jesus' name. And if you didn't get all that you needed earlier when we prayed, believe again for it in Jesus' name. If you did, then shout a hallelujah. Because God is good. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you are going to remove the silent voices that we've had in the past. And Lord, you're going to give us roars like lion, like the Lion of Judah. Lord, that we are not going to be afraid to shout of the goodness of God any longer. Lord, that you're going to break off that reverence and fear that has pushed us down instead of allowed us to shine like never before. Too often it has pushed us down, not lifted us up. So Lord, would you allow us to be bolder in our faith? Would you allow us to be bolder in our conversations? Would you allow us to be bolder in our pursuit of you? Lord, give us a hunger that will pursue you like never before, like never before. Like never before. And guys, I want to invite you. If you're feeling like zero this morning, I want to invite you to the front. We're going to pray today. If you're feeling like zero, come forward and we're going to pray today. If you're feeling like we talked about earlier, like you've been going really well, but it feels like there's just been a deficit, or maybe you've went too long without getting recharged, then I want to pray on that as well. So in any one of those, I want to invite you to come. And of course, where we're getting all of this from is the Holy Spirit. And so if you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm going to invite you to come to the front, and we're going to pray for that as well. And while you do that, I want to give us a couple of words. I want to give us a couple of words that the Lord gave me this week, I believe, or for today. Here's the word of the Lord, and I want you to receive this if you need this. God says there's an increase in you. Maybe you've been feeling for a long time you've seen no increase. You've felt no increase in your spiritual life. You've seen no increase in your life in general. I want to believe this morning that this is a word that God gave me for you. That he's increasing you. That he's removing anything that would cause you to not increase. And everything that would hinder, he is removing. So Lord, I just pray increase over everyone who needs that. And for anyone who needs it, you just receive it in Jesus' name. You receive it in Jesus' name. There are many things that the word has promised us, but they only take full effect when we receive them by faith. It said to the children of Israel, go and take the land flowing with milk and honey. And then they went to the land and they said, oh, we don't want it because it seems too hard. They would not receive it, even though the Lord had promised it to them. The Lord has promised us the Holy Spirit, and he promises this morning supernaturally increase, and it's up to us to receive it by faith. So if we need that this morning, we receive it in Jesus' name. We receive it. And the second word that the Lord gave me that I believe is for this morning is for those that feel that for some reason they're not planted well, that they don't feel that they're planted well. And God says this morning, I just want to remind you and I want to transplant you back to being beside the river because it's the river that brings life. And so if you need that this morning, then just receive that. You're not a tree, but the word describes it sometimes as being like a tree planted beside a brook, beside a stream. And then the roots get all that it needs. The animals that live in the tree get all the life that they need from the river. Everything is sustained by the river that flows. But maybe this morning you feel that you've got just so far from God, you're not even sure where the river is anymore. You're not even sure how to get back. The Lord says this morning, I have a way to bring you back. If you would repent and come to me afresh, I will bring you back. So if you need that this morning, receive it by faith. The Lord wants to bring us back to the river. He wants to bring us back to the river. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else this morning, I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to come, invite you to come. If everybody's there, we're just going to start to pray with these guys.